While I was in Louisiana in late July and early August 2010, I saw with my own eyes that a lot of oil had reached beaches and small vegetation islands in Barataria Bay, and that birds badly crippled by oil were not getting to any rehab centers if they could open their wings and try to fly, even if they just fell in the water. I was there for less than 2 weeks, but I talked to Drew Whelan after reading all his firsthand observations in the American Birding Association's blog. Drew arrived in May, mostly slept in his truck, and stuck it out for months, except when he developed pneumonia and had to leave for a short time. By the time I got to the Gulf in late July, the ABA was the only bird or conservation group posting firsthand accounts. I had obligations at home but couldn't bear to leave the Gulf until I visited at least one rehab center treating oiled birds. The public and media were prohibited from visiting any of the four rehab facilities except during rare scheduled media events, so I stuck around for the August 5th public information session at the Theodore Oiled Wildlife Rehabilitation Center near Mobile. In just the few days I'd been out in the field and the relatively small area I'd been to, I'd seen several badly oiled birds, a few that would have been extremely easy for any experienced rehabber or bird bander to capture to get to a rehab center, if only trained volunteers and experienced rehabbers had been allowed to capture oiled birds. BP insisted that both live and dead birds were, quote, legal evidence, meaning an appropriate chain of custody, authorized by BP, of course, needed to be maintained. The rehabbers at the center were excellent, but none had been out in the field to see what I'd seen. They were only allowed to treat birds brought to them by BP's approved people. Not one of the licensed wildlife rehab centers in the Gulf states was authorized to treat the birds oiled during the BP spill. The four centers that were allowed to accept oiled birds during the crisis were all temporary facilities set up and operated by the International Bird Rescue Research Center. This excellent California-based organization has become a world authority on treating oiled wildlife, so once oiled creatures were brought here, they truly were in good hands. Based on my actually seeing oiled egrets, herons, pelicans, gulls, and shorebirds, I expected that these four centers would each be treating dozens or even hundreds of birds. But no, the only birds the Theodore Oiled Wildlife Rehabilitation Center was treating at the time I was there were two immature northern gannets. Gannets are true oceanic birds coming to shore only on rocky cliffs and only to nest. When I've seen them from shore along the East Coast, they've just about always been too far out to get satisfying looks with just binoculars. Many or most of the gannets killed by oil in the Gulf would have been too far out to wash ashore. Gannets nest in huge colonies in the North Atlantic along the Canadian coast, Iceland, and Northern Europe, and winter all along the eastern seaboard. Some get as far as the Gulf of Mexico, but by February, adults head north, and even most subadults have left the Gulf by March. So at the time of the Deepwater Horizon explosion on April 20th, virtually the only gannets remaining in the Gulf had to be ones that had hatched the previous summer. One of the reporters asked why they were finding only immatures. Licensed rehabbers often aren't very knowledgeable about natural history, especially about animals they seldom encounter. And these rehabbers were from California, far out of the range of northern gannets. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service spokesman answered this one. He said that as far as they could tell, adult gannets had enough experience to successfully avoid what little oil there was in the Gulf. Neither he nor the rehabber speaking to us had any clue that adult gannets simply aren't in the Gulf by mid-April. When reporters were chatting with him after the presentation, someone asked about his background. He said he worked on deer research and management. There are many experts specifically knowledgeable about birds in the Gulf in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the U.S. Geological Survey, and a lot of universities and nonprofit organizations. Was it possible that BP had specifically selected spokespeople who were sincere, well-meaning experts in their own fields who were not likely to be very knowledgeable about the wildlife that would be most affected by the spill? The news reporters went away satisfied that just as they'd heard, there really weren't many birds or other animals affected by the largest oil spill ever. Between dispersants and evaporation, all that oil really had been miraculously raptured up and away. Nothing to see here, folks. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.